The world around us is changing rapidly. Fundraisers and nonprofit marketers like you have to be flexible and innovative to continue to overcome the challenges you face. We're Pursuant, and we're here to provide you with the tools, insights, and strategies you need to get you where you want to go. You're tuned in to the Pursuant Listening Experience. This episode is another installment in the series we're calling The Great Pivot of 2020, which looks back at how nonprofit organizations addressed the abrupt challenges created by the COVID-19 pandemic. Debbie Stanley interviewed Holly Faree from Big Brothers Big Sisters in North Carolina about how their organization shifted their fundraising and achieved results.
Hi, it's Holly. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Debbie?
I'm good. Now, where are you located at?
We're in High Point, North Carolina.
Oh, great. Great. And you're with Big Brothers, Big Sisters.
That's right.
Great, great, great work that you guys do. Just big fan of the organization. So let's kind of look back at, 2020. What were some of the challenges that you saw from 2020?
Well, from a programmatic standpoint, it was obviously, we're making matches. It's a relationship that is generally, in person and physical, really getting together. And so that stopped, almost immediately by the end of March. And so I think our case managers who are there to keep the relationship going, they were having to deal with things differently. Everybody was trying to learn how to use Zoom or some format to stay connected, or was it going to be through mail or would it be through phone calls? And that all depended upon our kids and what kind of technology they had, their parent or grandparents had access to internet or to the technology that they could share with their child. And of course, at that time, they were really focused on how is school going to be affecting them.
Yeah.
And then, you have that same thing with the volunteers. We have a lot of college students who volunteered, so they were maybe ahead of the curve as far as maneuvering their way through technology. But then we have a lot of volunteers who are older, and Zoom was maybe something totally unheard of. So that was a big learning curve. And then a lot of it was our kids and our families, they needed much more than just the connection with their child's mentor. They needed things like internet and maybe even clothing or food. So we had to shift in how we were serving our children. And so with that came messaging that carried over to our donors and letting them know that, hey, we're still here and we're still doing things for the children that we're serving. And, you're still very much a part of this and we need you, even though they're not seeing their bigs in person. We're trying to keep them connected because now more than ever, they're already behind in so many different ways and challenges like single parent homes, coming from disadvantaged circumstances, such as economically speaking. And so some of them are already behind educationally, in the learning curve. So here we are, this just totally puts them behind an altogether in another level. So, we wanted our donors to realize that we're still doing stuff. It just looks a little different than before that. And so I think that we were worried that, we would lose folks, but I think the people that were donating to us for the most part hadn't hit them or hadn't affected them yet. And we didn't lose donors. We, in fact, saw some donors who dug a little deeper into their pockets and were able to, especially those who had been with us for a while. And then we also were fortunate because all of these virtual platforms, people stepped up and they're like, okay, we see there's a need. And we know that people are going to have to do fundraising. They're going to have their galas or their whatever it may be. So we're going to come up with a virtual platform to make this happen. And people responded to it really well. And, of course, we were able to seize the moment with the PPP loans, and that helped not having to lay off anybody. But it helped so much that we've got 42 years of experience and longevity of being in the community. And we have an executive director that's been around for 25 years. So it helped. People knew our executive director, or they know her. And so they were willing to just support it wholeheartedly.
That's great. You know, a lot of folks that I talked to in these interviews, they saw that influx of new donors. They saw new people coming to the table. So it sounds like that was something that you guys had as well. So how are you deciphering who you invest in retention? Have you changed any of your stewardship strategies? How has that affected your goals for 2021?
Well, I think we're still kind of reeling with everything that's happened. I think that's something we do have to think about going into 2021. I mean, we're still sort of, you know, some of our events are still virtual. We've had to come up with some new ones because we did experience a shortfall. You know, our gala usually raises $100,000. It raised $80,000. You know, we have a bowl-a-thon and it had to be changed to virtual, and which was fine. And now we've come up with this trivia for kids' sake. It's a virtual thing. And, you know, even with the gala, we had new people that I don't think had it been in person that they would have taken time out for the travel or to get dressed up to go to like a, you know, a country club event. And so I think we got new people in because of that. And then we kept some of the same folks. And so I think it's just going to be like our donor database has a new thing on it where you can send an email video. So I can email them right away when they make a donation. And it's me saying, thank you so much. So they feel a connection with a person and not just a generated message, you know, an email. Thank you.
So what is that? One of my questions is some of the tools that you're using. What is that donor database that you're using?
Network for Good.
Okay, great.
They've been really good to work with during this too. I mean, they've offered a lot of ways to thank donors and to really capture all the different tools that they offer. So I think that's been one of the greatest ones is to be able to just, I can just sit here and click it and say, hey, you know, thank you, Debbie, for your donation. You know, we appreciate you. You know, you're new to the family of donors for Big Brothers, Big Sisters. And so it's just a nice touch, I think.
Are you asking questions about your fundraising data but are struggling to find actionable insights? Pursuant's GivingDNA platform is here to help. We combine your constituent data, donation data, third-party information, and tack on augmented intelligence to provide you with insights about who is giving to you, what motivates them to give, and which channels through which they prefer to engage. The platform also comes with baked-in opportunity segments that show you who is most likely to give a large gift, is most likely to lapse, and most likely to give monthly. All this and much more is at the fingertips of fundraisers like you. No IT or data analyst required. Learn more at givingdna.com today.
So it really is one of the questions is some new strategies that you're testing. So it sounds like you've been very event heavy.
Yes.
So as you look at that and you look at kind of that fundraising mix, what are you planning to do this year to move away from that reliance on those events or any other tactics you're planning to try this year?
Well, ironically enough, we've been all working from home. As you can see, my kitchen is right behind me. And so right before the pandemic hit, we had two offices because we serve Guilford County. So children in Greensboro, children in High Point. So we're going to merge the two and just save, you know, we're paying $50,000 a year in rent and utilities. So we had started looking at spaces. Well, we found a space. And through this, people have stepped up to help us with purchasing the space. So we plan to move in to this new space in June. And I think along with that is like this excitement of like, okay, well, what are you going to do with? How does this help you serve more kids? And the messaging about serving more kids, even in all of that's going on, makes people not only want to donate to a building, but they want to donate to how you're going to do it. So it's helped us get new donors. I mean, just doing this capital campaign has opened up some conversation with people about our program side that were brand new that, you know, we had never talked to. So I think also talking to those who are giving through online, you know, to randomly pick some folks and call them and just say, hey, why did you decide to do this? And start kind of cultivating a relationship that will lead to a deeper commitment or a deeper gifts, larger gifts. So, I mean, you know, it takes a while to cultivate sometimes, folks, but I think it also, you've got some of our donors who have been with us a long time. We're having these conversations about, you know, regularly, like communicating with them more about these are things that are going on. This is what's going on with our kids. This is a great story of how this match here, they went out and bought a birdhouse and they're going to do it online together. So when a donor hears that, they're like, I want to make sure that that does not get lost for any child. So I want to give you more to help you through this time. And I'll also, can you open up a conversation with one of your friends who that you think would really buy into what we're doing and want to hear more about it? So I think it's been really good to open up these conversations with new people and to bring donors closer to us and what we're doing.
That's great. That's great. That's I hear that quite a bit, that donors are looking for more of that authentic conversation, and nonprofits are starting to respond to that and understand that. So as we change track just a little bit, you know, there's all kinds of tools out there. Pursue, and of course, has a tool that'll help you with that. Are there other investments or platforms or technologies that you're using that are going to help you with that greater donor connection?
Well, you know, we haven't done this yet, but I think we're going to move toward it. And it's like a platform to help you with accepting gifts of stock. I think people are, you know, definitely, you know, it's easier to give a gift, a larger gift through a gift of stock. So we have talked to a company that that's what they're set up to do. Right now, if we only have a couple of folks who give us gifts in that way, number one, because we don't market it that way.
Yeah.
It's harder. You know, you have to, we have a relationship with like somebody with a financial advisor. And so we stream it through them. But, you know, this system really, I think I can see more nonprofits using something like this as we move forward, because gifts of stock are really it's nice. It's an easy way for somebody to give a bigger gift.
Yeah, that is very, very true. And it's also a way to create that deeper commitment with them because they're investing in you in that way. So now, how many donors would you say that you guys have in your donor database?
Active donors? I mean, I would say we're close to like 750 to 1,000. I mean, there's a lot of names in there that we've switched over from spreadsheets and stuff, but I would say actively about that many.
And seeing that growth and being able to give them more opportunity to invest. So Holly, I want to take this really high level for a couple of minutes. What do you think is one of the biggest challenges facing not just your organization, but the nonprofit industry as a whole?
You know, we just had a conversation about this. We have a company who wants to do something for us, but when we gave them, you know, the overhead, which is like a formula people use to figure out what your overhead is. We were outside of their range by like 4 percentage points. And it's just like, I'd like to see us move away. I understand why that is a concern, but I think it's healthy to not be held back by the overhead. I mean, we are a business, and especially a business that charges no fees to the children we serve and their families. So, I mean, you know, it takes bigger development staff to get the money going. And, you know, like when you're talking about working with donors who really want to be closer to what you're doing, it takes time. Mm-hmm. You can't just shuffle people through. You can't, you know, can't have too many balls in the air. Somebody drops. And, you know, when you're talking about a donor, they can leave you, you know, they can go give their money somewhere else. You know, you have to dedicate time to somebody to make them want to feel close enough to dig deeper, to, you know, really invest in changing and being a part of what you're doing. So
yeah,
I would like to see that change.